The title that I've got this morning is called The Waymaker, Following God's Lead. And I have been singing that Waymaker song in my head for the last week or so. It just keeps going through my head. Now, I am going to start with from the New King James Version, a pretty lengthy section of text taken from Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23. So I will try to read it slowly and phrase it for the understanding of people that are maybe from Yorkshire or other places. Hopefully it will make sense. So, now on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was, when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped, and according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was, when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, that's how I remember learning it when I was younger. Now, after Adam and Eve were sent out of the Garden of Eden, following their rejection of God's plan for their existence and at Satan's instigation, choosing to be guided by their own desires, Scripture tracks the impact of sin, that is, man's separation from God, on humanity. And throughout the remainder of the Old Testament, reveals God's plan to restore man's relationship with him, which had been broken in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 4, Adam and Eve have a family, and due to anger and jealousy, Cain murders his brother Abel. 1 chapter after choosing their own desires rather than God's way, Adam and Eve and their sons experience the consequences of what life looks like when it's ruled by human emotion and desires rather than by God. Our world currently is steeped not only in the horrors of war and human cruelty on an international scale, it is also reeling from the revelation of organized human trafficking carried out by very wealthy, powerful, and high-profile individuals in this country, in the U.S., and abroad. Government leaders, members of the royal family, influential businessmen and women, having been led by their lust and greed and selfishness, have been exposed in documents recently released for public scrutiny. We have witnessed the arrest of a member of the royal family this week, something that has not happened for more than 350 years. Despite our collective intelligence and the advances in technology that have been pursued in a belief that we can improve our human experience in our own strength, we live in a world where the outcome of our fallen and broken nature is regularly on display and is reminiscent of the situation God comments on in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." The choice that faced Adam and Eve when the serpent lured them into a belief that God was tricking them and was standing in the way of their enjoyment and their self-actualization has continued to be a choice for every man, woman, and child who has walked on this earth since. Do you walk with God, or do you follow your own lead? As Adam's lineage is outlined in Genesis 5, only one person is identified as having walked with God, and that was Enoch. Enoch did not die, but rather God took him at the end of his long life on earth. In Genesis 5:24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." By Genesis chapter 6, life done man's way had become so corrupt and violent that God regrets creating man in the first place. It's at this point that we're introduced to Noah, who listens to God and follows his lead, even though everyone around him thought he was mad. God's way or our way? If you do not believe in God, or if you think that there might be some power out there that holds everything together, but you're not willing to accept in faith that God's written word is the truth, then you leave yourself with no other option than to make your own way in life. And in so doing, you can only make decisions for yourself that align with your own desires and your own definition of morality. I hear so many people say, "I am not a bad person." Even if we live our lives trying hard to be respectful of others and helpful where we can be and generous where we can be, if we are not following God's lead in our lives, then we are being led by our own desires, which is exactly what Satan was doing when he challenged God and was thrown out of heaven before the creation of the world. The story of the exodus of the children of Israel as God delivered them from their slavery and bondage in Egypt foreshadows God's plan of salvation through his son Jesus Christ. No matter how good we think we might be, we are still slaves to the world, the flesh, and the devil, if we have not accepted the way of escape offered by Christ's death on our behalf and his resurrection, which defeated death and allows us to live reconciled to God both now and for eternity. In a very dramatic exit from Egypt, the Israelites were led by Moses to the promised land that God had promised to Abraham hundreds of years earlier. The journey to the promised land is really what I wanted to focus on today. If the Lord had led the children of Israel along the shortest route to Canaan, the trip would have taken at the most a few weeks rather than the 40 years it actually took. Although they were troublesome people, and Moses was often in despair over their moaning and complaining and their lack of gratitude, despite being saved from the tyranny of life in Egypt, they did in fact follow God's lead through the wilderness over all those years, as indicated in the passage I read at the start. God decided if they stayed or if they packed up and moved on. He led them by a pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day. So why was a whole generation spent wandering around in the desert? Why didn't God just get them to the promised land as quickly as possible? It seems to me that one of the key reasons for the delay was that although God's people were physically removed from their lives as slaves, they needed far more time to learn how to trust God, how to honor Him in all things, and how to live with hearts that wanted to be pleasing to Him rather than to satisfy their own desires. This is clearly not quick work. As believers, we are being led through the wilderness of our life here on earth by Jesus Christ through His Spirit. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. As Christ followers, we want to make sense of our journey. We want to know that there is a purpose for our existence, that we have lived our lives in a meaningful way, accomplishing meaningful things. Of all the people who left Egypt during the Exodus, only Joshua and Caleb survived to enter the Promised Land. Everyone else died along the way, and it was the next generation led by Joshua who entered the land God had promised. What if the journey is the thing? What if where we are on the itinerary is not what God is primarily concerned with? In order for the Israelites to know whether to stay or move, they had to look to God, who appeared every day in the form of a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud. What if that daily decision to look to God for His leading is what those 40 years was all about? What if being with God and in right relationship with Him was the priority following the Israelites' release from captivity rather than reaching a particular destination? Both the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs explore the truth of God's responsibility for the path that we follow as Christians and the importance of living our lives in His presence, which is the only state of existence here on earth that can bring true joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Walking with God, being with Him, looking to Him in all things brings the fullness of joy and provides pleasure forever. I have misunderstood this for so much of my life as a Christian. I've wasted a great deal of energy and have endured so much mental anguish in my life by focusing on and worrying about where God wanted me to be. I have often looked around me and concluded that I must have missed something at some point because it seemed that my life had ended up in a place that surely God had not intended. My circumstances have almost never matched what I thought my life ought to look like as a believer who wanted nothing more than to be obedient to Him. I completely missed the point that God deliberately took the children of Israel on a long, circuitous journey in order to teach them to acknowledge Him in all things and to trust Him to take them along the path of His choosing. Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Learning to trust God fully and to reject the lesser gods of their former existence in Egypt was part of the 40-year education in the desert. Another important aspect of their time wandering through the desert was to learn obedience and to die to those worldly desires and motivations that stood in the way of a right relationship with the one true God. So much of the experience that they had during those 40 years was spent purging the children of Israel from the wickedness that was hardwired into them since Adam and Eve were forced to leave the garden. King David understood the order of priority in living a God-fearing life. repent of the sin in our lives, which we need to ask God to reveal to us, and follow God's lead. Psalm 139, verse 24 says, "And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." When we become preoccupied with our path through life at the expense of obedience to God, we will go astray. Says this in Proverbs 10, verse 17, "He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray." As we journey through our lives here on earth, whether we are just starting out or are coming to the end of our allotted years, our only concern should be to look to the Waymaker. Nothing else matters. If we have decisions that we must make, if we have needs that we cannot meet, our job is to look to Him, to ask for His guidance and His provision, and to trust that He will lead us into His truth. Psalm 25, verses 4 to 5, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Is this way of living life easy? It is simple, but not easy. It is difficult because it asks us to live life counterintuitively. It asks us not to focus on what the rest of the world focuses on, and to trust in God in all things instead. This is not a well-worn, broad path. The well-traveled road of self-interest and self-protection and doing what feels natural and good to our flesh is an easy one to follow, but it leads to certain destruction. Jesus says it himself in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." There is, however, good news about this difficult way that leads to life. We do not need to feel responsible for the direction it takes us. All we need to do is follow God's lead as He makes a way for us, guiding us one step at a time. He will speak to us if we are attuned to Him and will give us the instructions that we need when we need them. Isaiah 30:21, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." When our priority is to seek His face daily and to submit to His will, He promises to guide us with His eye. But we have to be looking at Him for this to happen. Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." Another piece of good news about this narrow and difficult path is that when we are following the Waymaker, He 100% promises to clear the path before us and to never abandon us on the journey. Isaiah 44:40, verse 4 says, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth." If we choose to go our own way and to follow our own desires, we have no assurance of safety on the journey. We can only be as good as our own limited understanding and limited ability, and will be truly limited by our fickle desires. When our priority is to follow God's lead in all things, the journey is guaranteed to be a safe one, no matter how ominous the circumstances might feel at times. We do not need to understand the journey. We just need to trust in God's promises to us. Isaiah 42:16 says, I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. We are pilgrims and strangers passing through this world. Our journey through it might seem as though we are wandering in circles a lot of the time, and that is okay. We are walking in faith, like Abraham did, not really knowing where we are going, but knowing what we are looking forward to, and fixing our eyes and hearts on God, the Waymaker, who will guide us safely to life everlasting. Just going to finish with a reference here from Hebrews 11:8-10 to Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Dear Heavenly Father, the journey that we are engaged in even now in this world is the journey that you have set before us, that you understand. It's a plan that you have devised to ensure that our lives give us opportunity to learn how to trust you, to depend on you for all things, to believe that the promises that you've written in your word are true and everlasting, and to learn often, I know in my own experience, the hard way, that when we try to do things our way and take our own lead, we can put ourselves in the way of danger that you do not want us to be in. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you show us on a regular basis how to be obedient to you, where we need to change our thinking and our ideas about things so that we can be pleasing to you. But Lord Jesus, I just ask that you help each one of us to understand that it's the relationship with you that is the most important thing. As long as we have our eyes fixed on you, you will guide us where to go. And Lord, there is such comfort and peace in knowing that with every fiber of one's being. Just thank you for your salvation. We thank you that we have your Holy Spirit to lead us through this world, which is a very troubling and dangerous place. But we do not need to despair. Because you are there, you will never forsake us. You are guiding us along the path that you have chosen for us. We thank you in your very precious and most holy name. Amen.